This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Coffee-fueled story.
Interrupting all programs.
Radio UNK. Radio UNK.
Hey, 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 you're listening to Radio UNK. I'm your host, DJ Unicorn. Let's get amped with today's guest, horror author and musician, Renee DeCamillis. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You fit into both categories of the coffee-fueled stories because you are an author, and you also have a band, so you have Radio UNK. So we're going to focus on the music right now. So why don't you tell us about your band, Scars Aligned?
Well, we've only been together just a little shy of a year now, working on getting a full set together. We don't even have a full set yet to play gigs, but we scheduled our first gig, so, you know.
Got three songs that we're going to talk about today. So we have Scars Aligned, we have Star Eater. Is it just song number three?
That's how creative it is.
I like it. It works out really well. So let's start with Scars Aligned in general. So how did you come up with the name Scars Aligned, and what's the story behind that?
Well, we've just been together so long. I'm like, we really need to like call ourselves something. And I just had fun with it. It came up with a bunch of ideas and just wrote out a huge list and, you know, put stars next to some. And then, you know, the stars that ones that had one or two stars, I brought them to all the guys. And I'm like, hey, what do you guys think? You know, I had a different band name in mind because I got a really cool guitar pedal and I wanted to name the band after my pedal.
What's the pedal?
Well, it's actually ended up the name of the song Star Eater.
Very yeah, cool.
It's a really awesome pedal by Pigtronix. Scars Aligned won the challenge, and I actually like it better. It fits us better, you know.
Scars Aligned. So it gives it that edge. I was listening to the songs that you sent. Star Eater has kind of like a more of a punk feel to it. Who comes up with the songs and lyrics? Is it collective or is it like one person kind of leading?
I mean, it really is collaborative. But out of the three that you have, song three and Star Eater, I wrote them all, the lyrics and the music. And then Scars Aligned, I didn't write any of that. That was Ed, our lead guitar player, wrote the music. He came up with some riff ideas. And then our drummer, John, he just came over with just a bunch of lyric ideas. And of course, I gravitated to the one that's named after our band. And I'm like, hey, I think these will fit over Ed's new song idea. And then I just really did the arranging for that one. So we try to keep it as collaborative as possible. It's just whoever has the most inspiration and has the time to do it, you just bring your ideas forward. And we just go with it. See what works. See what we like. See what we, you know.
Right on. So The studio that you were using, or the space that you were using, is that somebody's basement, or like where were you? Because I was like, that place is huge. Like, that was a big ass space.
Well, it might look big in the video, but it doesn't feel big when you're in there. Believe me, I'm constantly moving my mic stand and my music stand out of the way so John can put his cymbals up. And but it's actually my basement.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, well, it's funny. I actually set that room up as a game room for my son. And then when I'm like, yeah, it'd be so cool. You can have your friends over and we put a TV down there and you can watch movies. And he's like, nah, we're going to hang out up here and the grown-ups can hang out downstairs. And I'm like, yeah, jam room. Woo!
Right on. That's awesome. That's awesome. So this is going to go into how, since you guys have been together for a very short time period, how did you guys meet? Like, are you guys just like old friends and you guys just decided to start playing music together? Like, how did you guys actually form Scars Align?
Well, the bass player, Jesse, that's my husband.
Oh, very
so,
cool.
We're kind of stuck together. And we've played in a couple bands together before, but they were both cover bands. You know, we were in one band that we did all 80s hair metal. And then we were in another band that was a cover band, and we were in that band with our now lead guitar player, Ed. And it started out as a Black Label Society tribute band. Little me is the singer at, you know, 5'2", 115 pounds, yeah. Stepping in for Zach Wilde.
Right on.
And then John, we just put out an ad for a drummer. We were working with one drummer that just, we didn't click. We couldn't get our schedules right. And I just put out an ad just for like, hey, we're just looking for drummers to jam with. And he came over, and it was like, it was so weird because it felt like we'd known him for years already. And we found out like we knew some of the same people. I mean, we're in Maine. The music scene here is really small. So we ended up knowing a lot of the same people. And we just really clicked. We all liked the same kind of music and it just worked. And it so happens that our lead guitar player, you know, and my husband and myself, we all went to high school together.
No way.
So we've known each other for that long. So it's
very
really cool.
Now, yeah. did you guys play in high school? Like, did you do any jamming in high school? Or
I know Ed did. Ed had a band. Jesse jammed with a lot of different people. Me, I was the shy girl, and I had wicked stage fright. And everybody back then, all the musicians were dudes. And as soon as they find out it's a chick playing guitar, it's like you're under a magnifying glass, you know? They're like, oh, what can she do? And I would go, I'm just going to go over here and play by myself. I tried to get a bunch of my girls to play, you know. One of my best friends started playing drums, but she just wasn't that into it. And then my other real good friend had a guitar before I did. She didn't play, you know. She loved music, and I'm like, dang it. So I didn't start playing in bands till I was in my 20s.
Okay.
And John, our drummer, he's played in bands since... my gosh, I think since he was a teenager too. So we've all been playing since our teens.
Very cool. Okay, so that answered that question. So I have a couple of questions relating to how old were you when you first picked up a guitar? Let's go with that. How old were you when you first picked up a guitar?
12.
Okay. You mentioned the Ladies of Rock and Roll. So we're going to talk about some Ladies of Rock and Roll. So I'm going to ask you a couple of possible influences. And Lita Ford, okay, she's kind of classic. Right.
Yeah.
And she did start out in the Runaways with Joan Jett. Mm-hmm. So I have Lita Ford, Heart, Joan Jett, or any other female musical influence.
Doro Pesch of Warlock.
Now,
I kind of consider myself kind of a mix of what I like and my style, I guess, would be kind of Joan Jett, Doro Pesch combo.
Very
cool.
I
love Joan Jett. I've covered a few of her tunes.
Totally. She's just so iconic. She's just,
yes.
Oh yeah.
She's got what I call that it factor. She's just got it.
And she had it at 13 when she first started playing. Like she
hasn't lost a bit of it.
No.
None.
Let me ask you this. So I don't know about you. But well, so one of the questions is, what was your first album that you bought and how old were you? So let's go to that before I tell you my story.
Well, the first album I bought with my own allowance money.
Yes, yes.
Was Motley Crue Shout at the Devil on cassette.
Have you noticed how Coffee Fueled Stories doesn't have any ads? That's because I work tirelessly to keep this show alive. After 3 years on my own, I've decided I need to ask for your help. I've never asked anyone to subscribe. I've never asked anyone to leave a review. I've never asked anyone to rate the show. And I've never asked anyone to pay to listen. There are a few ways you can help support the show. I've created a Patreon page, Coffee Fueled Stories, and a subscription section on my podcast website. It's simple to support and help me keep my dream alive. Just click the link in the show notes to set up your paid subscription option. It's that easy. Thank you for your support.
Awesome. Oh my God. I can, is that the one with like the crotch shot and like,
yes, that I buckle? Just, I will never forget that because I had my own money, you know, and I could go buy it myself. Yes. It's so awesome.
Yes. And so this relates to the story. So I did the same thing. I would get my allowance and I would save it. And I worked my butt off for like the $12 I got at like the end of the week, right? My parents were, they were cheap. They made me work my ass off for that money. And I appreciate the value that they taught me. I appreciate the value. So Gen X, you know, boomers to Gen X. Hey, I'm right there.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Right. And I would sit at the edge of my bed. So tell me if you did this. Now, so we're just going to talk about records, but cassettes, it's the same feeling, right? So you stick it into your stereo and you put it on. And that first sound that comes out of your speakers.
I'm getting chills right now.
Like, I remember how I felt listening to whatever album I bought. So like, let's just say Adamant, The Cure. So I'm going to back to the albums that I purchased. Susie and the Banshees, Tears for Fears, Depeche Mode. So those would be like some of the very first albums that I bought with my allowance, between 12 and 13, somewhere around there. And the Go-Go's. Love the Go-Go's.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I remember sitting at the edge of my bed and just thinking, good God, life is great. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. It was just rock and roll music, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was awesome. I get it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like every like Christmas morning, I remember my mom used to say, like, if you're up before me, like, don't wake me up. Don't touch the presents, but you can get into your stocking. And it was always filled with cassettes. So I'm like, I'm all set for the whole morning. I just go upstairs and I have my headphones on and just listen. I get the lyrics right in front of me, like trying to memorize them already, you know?
you just kind of don't get that same feeling with like an MP, like you download a song, right? Like it's just not the same.
I don't download anything.
I mean, I occasionally will buy a song, cause especially like for the treadmill. The treadmill is when I definitely need to have my...
Oh my God, yeah.
Right? So I'll be on the treadmill and I'll have like Pandora on and I'm like, oh, okay, this is a great song. I like this. I really want to buy it because I like to make my own playlist because sometimes...
Oh, right.
Because especially like when I'm on the treadmill, I have like a certain rhythm. So I start out, I do my warm up, right? So I got my warm up. And then after about 8 minutes, I'm like, okay, it's time to shift it. Exactly. So you shift it. Right? So I'm like, so I have like a, I have my own... like frequency, like wavelength, right?
Oh, and that's so awesome. I love
and then,
that.
Because I can't go. So, right, we were talking about amping it up. I can't stay amped up for 20 minutes straight, right? Like, that's just, I can't. So, you kind of have to bring it down, then you have to take it back up, bring it down, take it back up. So, I appreciate Pandora and Spotify playing the songs that I like, but it just doesn't give me the rhythm that I need on the treadmill.
Right.
So occasionally I will download a song. I will buy a song, but it's just not the same. It's not the same
it's
as the liner notes. I don't know about you, but
that's
liner
exactly
notes.
Exactly it. That's why I don't download anything. I want to feel it in my hands. I want to unfold that. I want to see everybody who wrote this song and who played, who was a guest musician on this song. And I want all the lyrics and where did they record it and who did they thank? And
yes.
I want all of the nitty gritty.
And you get that in the, like, put it this way. Let's say hypothetically, you went to the record store and you were flipping through the record bin and you pull out the record and you're like, gosh, I don't know this band, but it was recorded in the studio and it was produced by so-and-so. And you're like, well, I like this record label and I like this producer. So I have a feeling, okay, like Rick Rubin, okay?
Yep,
Rick Rubin can do no wrong, okay?
Right.
If it's got his name on it, you buy it. You buy it. Doesn't
matter.
You know
it's a winner.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so the liner notes and seeing where it was recorded, right?
Yeah, like, where it was recorded. Yeah.
I mean, now that we have like really kind of dived deep into our youth, about music and liner notes, it's so nice to, it's refreshing to know that I'm not the only weirdo out there. because
yes, my I understand mom, that feeling.
My mom would, she would, I would, again, I would come home. So if I wasn't sitting on the edge of the bed, I was on the floor with the liner notes, right? Like I had yep. everything
and
on the
floor. Speaker, yeah, speaker here, speaker yes. here. So you're like yeah. fully, yes.
immersed, yes. And, you know, and I would be sitting there, you know, just engrossed. And she would walk by and she's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, Mom, this was produced by the same guy who produced the Depeche Mode album. How cool is that? And
what
she's
is
like,
Depeche Mode?
And she's like, okay. And she would just keep walking on. I'm like, well, you asked. I'm like, I'm here and minding my own business, listening to the music, being a quiet, normal child.
Being well behaved.
Yes. You're the one that stopped in the doorway to see what I was doing. I'm doing my thing. You interrupted me. I feel like I get to connect with others who share the same, you know, nerdy inclinations that I yes. do about liner notes. Yes. You know?
I love liner notes.
Right? Okay. Because this is going to lead to the next question. Because now we're going to start talking about your books.
Okay.
When you pick up a book, now that I know that you like liner notes, you pick up a book and you look at the inside flap, the mm-hmm. other inside flap, and you read the back, right? Mm-hmm. You want to know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I usually read about the author too.
That's what I'm saying. Where like was it produced, right?
Right. I want to know who created it. What? Maybe there's something about them that I'm like, oh, that's like an interesting person. They might write really interesting stories, you know, if it's somebody I've never heard of, you know?
Right? See, that's important. It's important yeah. to read the liner notes, even on yes. books.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So important.
So important.
Okay. They're there for a reason, people.
Yeah. Right? Like, it costs money to put that stuff in there. Yeah. Read it.
It takes time to put the thought into what's important to put on there, you yeah. know?
Yeah. Read it lighter.
And
notes,
it's
people.
Also to help inform the buyer.
Yes.
You know, we're doing it for you.
Yes. You want this. You want this.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay. So we need to talk about Chisel the Bone.
Yes.
So Chisel the Bone is your sequel. Yes?
Yes. That's okay. The sequel.
Okay. And the first one is Bone Cutters?
Yes, the Bone Cutters.
Okay. So I'm picking up on the opening scene.
Chisel the Bone.
My shins were aching, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But so the best way I can describe it, so this is my take, these is mm-hmm. brilliant and disgusting. Clive Barker meets Supernatural, like the TV series.
Two of my loves.
Okay, so great.
Clive Barker and Supernatural. I own every season of Supernatural. I love that show.
It's a great show. Yep. Yes. Continuing on my take, sick, twisted, mm-hmm. and demented. I like it. So, brilliant and disgusting, Clive Barker meets Supernatural, sick, twisted, and demented, and I like it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, if I was to write perfect. A blurb, that's what I would say.
That is the blurb I would want.
So without going into too much detail or giving away, because I don't like to give any spoilers, but let's talk about what authors and or books influenced you to write.
Influenced me to start writing?
Yes.
Well, the first two are definitely Edgar Allan Poe and Stephen King, which are, I know it sounds cliche, it's every horror writer, but I can't help it.
I love them too. Those are my boys. I always say Edgar is my homie.
Yeah. Edgar oh my God. My and he's my man, Edgar.
He's the man.
He is.
The man. All right, so yeah. Not cliche. Not cliche.
Okay.
And Stephen is the king. So there's yes. a reason his name
exactly.
is King.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm weird and I like to talk about food and coffee in books. So You mentioned pasta a couple times and then takeout. I love how you had that thread. Like, I just laughed. I literally had you. I don't have my first notes when I was reading, but I literally had takeout in huge letters and I just circled it and I just did a smiley face. And that's where I got the Supernatural feel because they are always eat burgers. They are always eating fast food. And
yeah,
so
they're always on the road, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just was cracking up. And then you're going to have to forgive me because the coffee is, that's what gives me very, it gets me very excited. Coffee fueled stories. I counted, you have coffee referenced on 26 pages.
Well, I'm so glad to get feedback for this, you know?
I love it.
So coffee. I would be lost. Lost without coffee.
Okay. So coffee is referenced on 26 pages. You have coffee cake on page 137. And then you have the coffee spill. And I'm like, no!
Don't waste the coffee! It's coffee abuse.
And I was like, oh, the horror! It's a horror book because she's spilling coffee.
Exactly.
So how much coffee in a day do you drink? And what is your go-to coffee?
Well, I actually had to switch to tea because coffee just has been really aggravating my stomach. When I was doing coffee, it was a 16 ounce in the morning and probably 12 ounce cup in the afternoon. But I've switched to chai lattes now. And I'd say it's a 16 ounce in the morning and a 14 ounce mid-afternoon.
Yum.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I drink it all the time. I have to remind myself, drink water.
That's so if you notice, I am drinking a water. And the reason for that is because the only reason I have this water here is otherwise I'd be having a third cup of coffee with you. And I probably shouldn't be doing that this late in the afternoon. It is a Monday. Fridays, I cut myself slack. On Fridays and Saturdays, I will drink, you know, it doesn't matter. Like if it's 3:30, I'll still have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But today I was like, okay, it's Monday. I had a very rough night. The kitty he loves screaming at like 4 o'clock and I couldn't go back to sleep. And so today was a little bit of a rough morning. So I'm like, I probably should not do the coffee late in the afternoon, even though I want to. So I am doing water.
I know exactly what you mean because I'll be finishing my last coffee and it's like 4:30. I'm like, don't finish it. And I just keep, as I'm telling myself, don't.
Right. Oh, coffee. Yes.
It's funny because now that I don't drink coffee as much when my husband makes his coffee, I smell it and he always lets me have the first drink. He's nice. Like, I know you want this. I just made it. Drink it before it starts getting warm.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. So my best friend comes up with the funniest code words. And code red is when there's no coffee in the house or you run out of coffee. We had a code red situation this weekend. Our coffee pot broke. I almost did a live. I was like, I've got my pajamas on. I don't have a bra on. Like, and nobody wants to see that. So, you know, I was like, I'll just talk about it. So the coffee pot broke and you should have seen that. It was so, I felt so bad. Brandy's like, what's going on with the coffee pot? And so I come running over and coffee is just spewing. We did. We did. The coffee was just spilling out everywhere. And I was like, what is going on? So I unplug it from the wall and it turns out that the plunger where the stopper is, that little piece broke. So literally coffee was just flowing everywhere. It was so sad. So we had to buy a new coffee pot. So we bought a new coffee pot. And then of course the hardest part about that is you can't just make coffee. You have to clean it. You have to like run water. And so like I ran it 3 times.
You're jonesing.
Yes. I'm like, oh my God, I want coffee.
And that's making the whole cleaning process harder because you're stressed out. I got to do this right now and get it over with.
I was like, I got to run it several times. I don't want coffee to taste like plastic. So yeah, that's what happened yesterday.
You don't like plastic coffee?
Oh my goodness. So we were talking about drinking a lot of coffee and saying how coffee is life.
Yes.
And that your husband is so awesome. So that is so sweet that he does that. I think the reason that we might have gotten a little long-winded on like liner notes and stuff like that, but that's okay because that's the stuff, like that's what I call the good stuff. Yes. You know, as opposed to like staying exactly on point for like 15 minutes and being like, okay, we're going to switch to this. So
right.
What I wanted to ask you is, how did you come up with the idea of dusting? Like, what the hell?
I get that a lot. It actually was a nightmare I had.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. If I had sent you the right book and sent you the first one,
it's
there's
all
a
good.
Scene in the first book where Dory, the main character, goes to her first group counseling session. And, you know, she doesn't know anybody and she's looking around and then she's like, she notices everybody has all these scars on them, you know, in all different spots on their body. And she's like, oh, this must be a group for cutters. And she's suicidal. So she thought maybe, you know, it has something to do with suicide prevention. And then she finds out, as she's like listening to everybody talking about their stories, then she finds out that they carve into themselves and shave their bones and get high off bone dust. And in the nightmare, I went to like a Portland art walk with a friend and she's like, oh, I just gotta stop in and see somebody. I promised them I'd stop in and see him. Do you mind stopping with me? I'm like, no, let's go. You know, and we stop in and there's all these people sitting in a circle and I'm like, what's going on here? You know, and I'm just, you know, being quiet and listening. And then I heard them talking about carving into themselves. You know, I saw all the scars and thought they were cutters. And then they started talking about, yeah, what they do to get high. I'm like, and I woke up and I told my husband about it the next day. He goes, that needs to go in a story. And I started writing it the next day. I'm like, I stopped everything I was working on. And I'm like, new story.
That's awesome. Do you plan on like continuing this series?
Yes. I thought I might end it, but yeah, I want to do a third one.
I read Takeout and I thought, okay, we're just going to end it on this nice little takeout. It's going to be awesome. La, la.
Yeah, la, la. Happy ending.
And then you did the next section. And I was like, no, she didn't. She did it. Damn it. I need to know what's going to happen.
Good. I'm glad. So, look, all right. Well, I have to write a book three.
You have to write a book three. So thank you. Like I said, Brilliant and Disgusting, Clive Barker meets Supernatural, Sick, Twisted, and Demented, and I like it. Give me more, please.
I like to hear that.
Instead of Oliver Twist, may I have some more, please? Right. Give me more, please.
Give me more, please.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So on that note, do you have an anticipated time frame when we can maybe?
I don't have a date. I don't even have the exact month. All I know is the second half of 2024, earlier, depending on how all the preparation goes.
Very cool.
I'll keep everybody updated and stuff. Definitely. Once I know something, if I get new news, I'll share my new news.
And now, will Scars Align be doing any shows anytime soon? Or are you guys just still playing down in your basement for fun right now?
Well, actually, we got our first gig coming up. And it's actually a Halloween horror-themed wedding.
What?
That, yeah. And I'm like, how fucking perfect is that? I'm like, yeah. I just wrote a song for my book, Fizzle the Bone. So I wrote a song for it.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, yeah.
That is freaking awesome. That is freaking awesome. Very cool.
Now I gotta think of how we're gonna dress up, you know.
That is awesome.
The Halloween vibe.
Hells yeah. What a way to end the show. That's like, I'm like super excited for you. I'm ready. I'm gonna sit and be patient. I'll wait for, you know, book three to come out. And I look forward to seeing more of what you guys are doing on the Instagrams.
So awesome.
Thank you so much for your time, Renee. It was
Thanks
a pleasure to hang out with you and to like, seriously.
Definitely.
So if you ever have liner notes in for your albums, you better send them my way because I want to read liner notes.
That's a promise.
Awesome. Renee, would you please say the tagline, let's get amped, to send us off to close out the show, please?
Yes. Let's get amped.